We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
Everybody, a high air five. All right, you can be seated. And again, I want to welcome those streaming in. We're glad you're with us. And today I want to talk about leaning in. And we're just living in a crazy world. 1 year into the chaos in our world, how is your tilt? Think about a tree. Whichever way the tree tilts, it's going to fall that way if it falls. And we should always have a tilt that's leaning in. Of course, leaning in is kind of a buzz term these days. But how is your tilt? Are you leaning forward, or are you a little tip back? And I think we all have friends or know of folks that are in one condition or the other, and we need to pay attention to our own condition. You know, the year 2020 has created the most challenging times that we've confronted in our lifetime. And, you know, we're confronted with a pandemic. We're confronted with media propaganda. You don't know what to really believe, political posturing, small business closures, food shortages, education interruptions, socialization deprivation, it's a mouthful, and social justice issues, and increased mental health needs, decisions about taking the vaccine, if you want to take it, can you get it, and all of the frustrations that you see in the news on that. And then for some people are so moved that they're just at times tempted just to either back off or just give up. But on the other hand, you know, we've served, my wife and I, we've, you know, been involved in church for like 50 years really faithful and serving in the church. And we've been through different movements and different things that go on. And it strikes me at this time, this is just a real opportunity for the church. And it's a wonderful time for the church to stand up, be the church, and show the power and the spirit and the love of God that works in us. But I'm also very aware that I think so many times we often don't really see it that big or express it that well. And so I just want to encourage us on that today. I want to work towards all of us having a better experience and creating a vision in the world for a better experience through the church. You know, there was on TV the other night, there was this distressed mother, and she was just shaking her head. And she said, "My child and I have lost a year now with his education. We're getting nothing done at home." Now, I know a lot of you, you've overcome that, and some of you are working from home and you're doing business and there's kids running through or pets running through, and you know, you've learned how to do that and you're just doing it in stride now. But for many people, this has created some real issues. And now's a great time for believers to just lean in to God and to make a difference in the world. And we need to lean into our own problems. And I can tell you, after decades of serving the Lord and decades of pastoring the church, wow, a lot of times you're in the fight and you just, you know, you give it all you got, but you feel like you're too slow and you don't have enough. I'm telling you, you have enough and God will move you along. And how you feel doesn't have a lot to do with how you're doing. I said, how you feel, come on, doesn't have a lot to do with how well you're doing. And it's an amazing thing here these years later to stand and watch and look at the band up here. We've got kids out of the nursery that are up here playing. And we've got, you know, some families got four generations here in this church. And I just stand back and say, God, you're just amazing. You're absolutely amazing. See, and he is worthy of all of our praise. And when we do that, when we lean into things, we actually stir up and encourage his support. And we move forward and God helps us in our situations. And so when we lean into our problems, we're first, we're winning our own battles. We need to be able to win our own battles, but also we need to be able to reach out and help others. Faith is the key factor in chaotic situations, and faith is the key factor for our lives. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 38 and 39, it says, "And my righteous ones will live by faith." My righteous ones will live by faith. But I will take no pleasure in anyone who turns away. Now, the King James Version says draws back. People who are drawing back. New International Version says people who shrink back. And we've all seen that. Many of us at some point may have experienced that. And it's something that can come against us. But verse 39 says, but we are not like those who turn away from God to their own destruction. We are the faithful ones. Say that with me. We are the faithful. Come on, some of you. We are the faithful ones. Everybody together now. We are the faithful ones. And you need to tell yourself, did you see how slow you were to respond to that? Because we don't, you know, we don't want to step up, step out, and be in the front. And we certainly don't want to sound prideful or overly self-confident. But we need to determine in our mind, I'm a faithful one. I've been faithful. I am faithful. I'm going to stay faithful. I might be faithful laying on my face. I might be faithful in a mud puddle, but I'm going to be faithful. You got to put your foot down. Make up your mind. Determine. This is who I am. Yeah, sure, I make mistakes, but then I get up again. It's not about falling. It's about getting back up. And so here's, well, it's gone now. We're leaning in. But we are the faithful ones whose souls will be saved. And so you've got to set your mind on that. You've got to determine that and not allow day-to-day activity, the ups and downs and all that comes, and you're fighting with all your faith. You're doing everything you can. Sometimes you fall short. But that doesn't make you unfaithful. And so it's a matter of getting back up and moving forward. And so God loves our faithfulness. Faithfulness is the pathway through our challenges. If you just determine, I'm going to be faithful. I had a friend back in Virginia. He was a very prominent attorney. He was one of the elders in our church there. He went around and to universities and taught courses, Christian courses and so on. And he was living in a very wealthy area of the nation. And all kinds of problems came against him. He got treated underhandedly in a business situation, $7 million in debt, stresses were terrible and everything else. And he told me, he said, I walked out in my backyard, Don. He said, I laid my Bible on the ground. He said, I stepped up on my Bible. And I told God, I'm going to do what this book says. No matter if it kills me, I'll die trying, but I'm not going to break your word. And from that, God took him in a couple of years, $7 million of personal debt. And this is 40 years ago. It's more like 8 or 9 million, I guess, now. But God took him out of that. But he made a decision. He made a determination. And he told God, I'm going to be faithful. And faithfulness brings you through these challenges. Faithful people don't turn away. They don't draw back. They don't shrink back. Faithful people lean in to the challenges and receive God's help. And with our, for this cause, 2021, I remember back when we first started that, the first year we did that, and a lot of us jumped in there giving above our tithes and offerings, and it seemed like a big stretch. And it's interesting that years later, it's just systematic. It's just, that's what we do. And every time our pastor stands up and gives us a report about something that's been done to significantly help someone in a third world country or in our local community, we all have a sense of we played a role in that. Our faithfulness is making a difference. And so we need to lean into our situations. And faithfulness is fueled by truth and prayer. Truth sets the guardrails in our life. When we know the truth, we know where the guardrails are. And we can stay on track. And then prayer reboots our soul. Our soul is our mind, will, and emotions. And how many of you have had the time where you get down and maybe you don't even feel like praying. You don't even want to pray. How many are with me on that? Come on, be honest. You don't want to pray sometimes. You holy ones. I'm going to get you. But I'll vote. I didn't like to pray sometimes. And sometimes you pray and you feel like your prayer hits the ceiling and comes right back down, hits you in the back. Now you're with me. But it's the truth. We're human. But we don't make excuse so we can be weak. We just understand we have to fight against our flesh take a stand, decide what we're going to do. And some of you can witness, you get down and you don't feel like praying or anything else, but you start praying, and then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit just starts to refresh and renew, put things back in focus. And you know, it's like you see on the Facebook, you got the little kittens walking in, they come out like lions. And we go to prayer and that can happen. We go to prayer sometimes and it doesn't happen. And that's all right. I want you to understand that your feelings don't have much at all to do with faithfulness. I said your feelings don't have much at all to do with faithfulness. Faithfulness is a decision. Love is a decision. You know, you don't fall in love and give her the ring and get married and everything else and then let every emotion decide whether you love her or not. No, you love her. You committed to that. It was a decision. And you stick with that. But faithfulness is the way to get through our troubles. Faithfulness is a fight. Say that with me. Faithfulness is a fight. You have to understand. You know, oftentimes people have been painted this rosy picture of floating around on a spiritual cloud and everything's good after you've come to the Lord. That's not true at all. It wasn't true for Jesus, it wasn't true for the apostles, and it isn't true for us. We need to understand, faith is a fight. Now, the older apostle Paul in the scripture, talking to young Timothy, and he tells young Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Everybody say, good fight. You got to understand that the fight of faith is a good fight. I used to fight a lot in school. That's what we did back then. You know, you go into class the first day and you're looking around, you size everything up, figure out where the things are. But some of those fights were good, some of them not so good. But you got to keep fighting. And the Apostle Paul said, it's a good fight. And if you don't leave here with anything else today, understand God's given you a good fight. And the thing that makes it good is that you're not alone. And so he says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Now that's great, because here Paul reminds Timothy of God's calling. And he's talking about Timothy, you accepted that calling. And those of us here, if you've received the call of Christ, if you've accepted Christ, Jesus called you to eternal life when you received him. And you made a good confession. That confession, I believe. That's your good confession. And you made a good confession of faith. And witnesses heard you. And here in Metro Church, God has called so many. And we've answered. And he's still calling. And every Sunday, people are being born in the Spirit. In this church. And so, we fight a good fight. And come on, church. We don't have to do it alone. We never fight alone. That's the great thing. God gave us a church so we'd have a family and we can go to war together. We can go into war individually, but whatever comes, we're in a good fight. We've got each other's back, and faithful people are winning. I love hearing the stories of people who have overcome. And you watch these young people and you watch the children. The children are so essential. The children need to see God working. Faith in for your children to have faith is not going to come just because they have an excellent teacher and just because she's presenting the word. They're going to come because the child senses that it all matters. And the child hears about the good stories. And the child sees the parents learn not to get overly nervous or worrisome about problems, because they have a confidence we're going to get through this one way or the other, and God will bring us through. So today, I just want to share with you, we got 14 minutes, we got 7 ways to lean in to the Lord. Lean into the good fight. So let's go. Number one, pray. Now you say, oh, I pray. No, I'm saying pray. I'm saying lean in prayer. And you've got to increase your prayer life, and you've got to analyze, okay, where am I having trouble? How many times do I get down? I don't feel anything. Well, then I'm going to get in and stay down till something changes. And, you know, you get out what you put in. And so we want to be careful that we're investing and we are growing and maturing. You don't want to be a 20-year-old Christian with a two-year-old experience. And it's easy. Hey, I'm retired. You know the bad thing about being retired? You don't ever get a day off. Tomorrow's a holiday, but not for me. But look, you got to enjoy life. And so we need to lean into prayer and give it a new level in our life. And so, you know, a huge cloud of witnesses watched and heard you. You know, your faith journey started with a prayer. Every person, your faith journey starts when you say, Lord, I believe. And that starts your faith journey. And a huge cloud of witnesses watched and heard it. Look at this in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. Now, you've got a huge crowd of believers that are watching. Those are the believers that have gone on ahead of us. And they're cheering you on. You need to envision this. There's one scripture somewhere talks about them looking over the balcony of heaven. But if you would think about, especially your loved ones who you still expect to see when you get to heaven, and you think about all of those, and they're up there, and they're cheering you on. I can't tell you how many days that has brought me through when I've thought about this battle's not over, and I'm not the only one, and there are others watching. And so here you got this big cloud of witnesses, and they're cheering you on. But Jesus heard your prayer too, and he's still praying for you. Romans 8, verse 34 says, the one who died for us, who was raised to life for us. Let me pause right there and say, you need to understand, you're going to walk on a lot of blood of Jesus to shake him off of you. He gave too much. He went too far. He walked too hard. He had to put up with too much to let you go easily. There have been days I needed to think about that. And we need to be honest and understand, we have our flesh to deal with. If you play like you don't, it'll take you much, much longer to ever get victory over it. Acknowledge your flesh and lean in to crushing it. But here it says, the one who died for us, who was raised to life for us, is in the presence of God at this very moment, sticking up for us. Now, I got good news and bad news for you. The good news is that Jesus is praying for you. The bad news is you're going to need it. Why would he? He doesn't waste time. He's praying for you, but you're going to need it. I remember in the Old Testament, King Jehoshaphat, he knew how to pray in crisis. And in this situation, he's talking to God, and the people that they had been kind to when they could have gone and overtaken them, now those people are coming to attack King Jehoshaphat and his people. And these scriptures aren't up. I added these later. 2 Chronicles 20, verses 11 and 12. And here's what he says. Here they are rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do. Have you ever been there? Feel powerless, don't know what. This king is admitting this. And he says, the multitude coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you. When you feel defenseless, when you feel like you've got no idea what to do or where to go, go to God. Pray like King Jehoshaphat and tell him, we don't know what to do, but we're looking to you. In every don't know what to do situation, we want to look to him. And then it comes back in verse 17 and says, he says, you will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Now, I want to tell you, when you get in tough spots and you feel like you're just dead and you wonder if God knows you or you know God, you need to position yourself. You need to say, I'm faithful. I don't have to feel it. I believe it. I'm standing here. I'm positioning myself. And I'm going to stand still, and I'm going to see the salvation of the Lord. He's going to bring me out of this, no matter how bad it is. He's not against me. He's for me. He'll bring me out. I might, whatever I have to do, I'm going to do that. I'll do my part. He'll do his part. But then it says, who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem? Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And I want to encourage us. You have those times. You need to grab a few scriptures. You need to have something on standby. You need to have some encouragement and understand, I'm going to take my faithful stand. I'm going to pray. I don't care if I don't hear anything or feel anything. I'm going to keep praying because the enemy is in trouble. And I don't have to have feelings. All I have to have is faith, and I've got that. And continue to walk in what you know. And when it says praying, we're on number one, praying. And we took half our time on number one. So praying, the Bible says in Luke 18 verse 1, it says, Jesus told them a story showing that it was necessary for them to pray consistently and never quit. There's never an excuse to quit. We need to understand, and let me say this quickly. I've had times where I didn't see answers to prayers. I mean, decades of pastoring, the people have prayed for, the deathbeds I've stood by, all of the different things. We've seen people miraculously healed. God has reached out and done things that were just amazing. And on other times, it seemed like there was a cloud and you couldn't see the sunshine and let alone see God. But I want to tell you, when you stand in prayer and you decide, I'm not quitting prayer, I'm holding my position, I'm going to do what I need to do here, God shows up. And he brings you through. And we don't quit praying. Number two, we're doing seven ways to lean in. Number two, plant. Plant yourself in God's house. Psalm 92, verse 13 and 14. This is so important. Over decades of pastoring, the people who get planted, it says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh, which means fat, and flourishing, which means green. Some found the first part. The rest is coming later. But planted in the house of the Lord. No one else can plant you, though. Mama can't plant you. Grammy, granny, granddaddy, Paul, whoever. Nobody else can plant you, how much they love you. You've got to plant yourself. But the Bible says, get rooted and grounded in love. In Ephesians 3, verse 17, it says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Love is the key. If you can love the Lord above everything else, well, that love will carry you. That love will cause you to treat everything else as the Lord does, because you treat it out of respect for his word, and that love carries you. And parents, plant your kids in church. I'm so proud of all the families here. We made that when we came and started this church. We made that a principle. We just were not going to violate Sundays. Church and Christ were always first. Always. Every time. Because when your kids grow up seeing that, they'll respect that. But if you start making exceptions and reasons that Sunday church doesn't matter, you're just eroding the foundation for your kids' faith. So keep your faith. Keep your kids planted. Plant your gifts and talents. Plant your finances. I don't have time to go into all of that. But as you do those things, God gave you gifts. He gave you talents. And if you don't think he gives you your finances, that's the biggest error. God blesses you. God, you can do better off of 90% less your offering. You bring a tithe and an offering. But you can do better off of the rest than you can of holding it all and thinking that you can manage it. And when you get rich, you'll tithe or give and all of that. You need to break through that. God will help you do it. Number three, practice. Quickly. First, practice controlling your thought life. Philippians 4. Learn these verses. Memorize these verses. It says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Biggest problems a lot of people have, and I've done enough counseling. It's amazing. The people, the problems, and all of that through decades. But I'm going to tell you, how you think matters. And what you allow to come into your mind. And, you know, especially with all of this political thing that's going on, all the pandemic thing, all the vaccine thing, I don't let things get in my mind that I can't influence. I don't let things get in my mind that don't make me happy. I control my mind. And here it says, fix your thoughts. Fix them on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. If you take that one verse and judge the thoughts that come flying into your mind and decide, nope, you don't stay. Yeah, you can be here. And you judge it based on that criteria. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me. The Apostle Paul is saying this. Everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. Another version says God will guard your heart. But we need to practice controlling our thoughts. Second, controlling our offenses. The apostles had very difficult lives. They went through a lot of stuff. And it says that in 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 9, but we have this treasure, talking about the Holy Spirit, in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed. Now this is what the apostle said. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. And you see, they understood how to be resilient, how to see the best in what was going on. And don't wallow in your worries. Get godly counsel if you need it, but don't wallow in your worries. When I see people worrying, I'm thinking, wow, there's a scripture that says worrying is like drunkenness. Well, what is drunkenness like? It's not being in your right mind. There was a time when Moses was down on his face crying and all of that because of the conditions he was in. And God actually said to him, get up and get moving. Get up and get moving. And, you know, I've had times where I felt like, that's what God's saying to me. I need to quit worrying about this thing. Get up and get doing something and move on. Next, control your mountaintop experiences. Don't get too high-minded in what's going on. I'm going to read this quick quote from The Three Battlegrounds, a book written by Francis Frangipane in 1989. Now think about this. He says, whatever lofty plane that you imagine you're on, Adam was in paradise when he fell. Before your increased knowledge and religious experiences make you overly self-confident, recall that Solomon wrote three books of scripture. He actually gazed on the glory of God, yet he fell. Yes, even in your deepest worship of the Almighty, do not forget in long ages past, Lucifer was once in heaven pouring out praise to God. We all have seen many who have fallen. Jesus warned that the love of many would grow cold. Do not presume it cannot happen to you. And so we need to allow humility to surround our spirit. And when we're having our mountaintop experience, enjoy it, but always walk cautiously and make certain we stay submitted to God. All right, number four, produce. Faithfulness is the first requirement of a steward, and we need to be faithful, and we need to be a profitable servant. You know, the talents, the story of the talents. We don't want to be that one that did nothing with their talents. And number five, project. We need to project a passion and an accountability. Philippians 3 verse 12 says, I'm not saying that I have this all together, that I have it made, but I am well on my way, reaching out for Christ who has so wondrously reached out for me. I love that when you connect that he reached out and you're reaching back. And so number six, we need to protect. You need to always protect your integrity. Integrity is so valuable. All the rest of your life is depending on your integrity. Do the right thing when nobody's looking. Do the right thing all the time. Never have an exception. You're not advantaging yourself. You do a lot of things. You live right most of the year. Then you decide to cheat on the taxes. Man, I've sat with my CPA and she'd say, well, you could go this way. I said, whatever's the honest way is the way we want to go. Yeah. And sometimes her eyelids lift. But I'm going to tell you, I don't want $1,000, $2,000, you know, that's gotten in a questionable way. I don't need that. God can give me $10,000, but I don't need that. That's too much of a risk. Let's just go the right way. So you protect your integrity. Number seven, and this is definitely an essential, party. Party. That's scriptural. There's a place in the Bible where they had all fasted and they had been really pressing in. They were leaning in. And then when they stopped, there was some indication that some were going to kind of go on in that same mode. And the leader said, no, wait. Here, take some food. You have food. Take food to other people. And he said, let's celebrate. And I can tell you it's extremely important that you celebrate. Because when you stop everything else and you take time to celebrate, everybody acknowledges the win. Everybody understands it happened. What we were doing paid off. The work, all of the tough things, they paid off. And celebration encourages you to keep up the good fight. And celebration inspires faithfulness. So I want to encourage you today. Don't let your feelings drive you. Lean in. Don't stand up. If you stand up straight, it's easy to be tipped back. I said, if you're standing up straight, it's easy for someone to tip you back. Football players know that. They have positions. They understand. Leverage is important. And you don't want to be standing up straight and the storm comes. You want to be leaning in. You want to be able to control. And so I want to encourage you, in these days and in your situation, maybe you're taking all of this crisis very lightly. You've learned how to do it. You even feel the master of it. Good for you. God bless you. On the other hand, you may have people around you who are not doing well. Feels like the world has fallen apart. They feel like they have nothing stable and they are in questionable condition. We need to be able to lean out and love them. So I want to encourage you today, lean into these things and allow God to bring you through. Even when you don't feel anything going on, God's at work. And so today, first thing you got to do is lean into God. And what a wonderful thing it is when a person makes the decision and decides, I believe. And they make that good confession. And they actually don't know it, but they're taking their first step into the good fight of faith. They have now declared faith. And they're going to start learning how to walk in faith. I want to ask you, have you done that yet? Has it been your day? It's the most important decision you ever make. And so if you just bow your heads, close your eyes, I'm going to just ask you today, humility is your friend and it's Satan's enemy. And when we humble ourselves before God and say, God, I acknowledge I need you. Can't do it alone. And I want to spend eternity. This is not about now. It's about forever. And so today,
we hope you've enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church.